Well, welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're now pleased to be joined on the telephone by the state senator who represents the Motherload region, Republican Andreas Borges. Senator Borges, thank you so much for coming on this morning.
BJ, it's great to be back on the show.
You know, first off, from a state perspective, what is kind of the most important information that you'd like to get out to the local constituents in regards to the COVID-19 response?
So since the pandemic has emerged, I believe that my responsibility and all the folks that work within our office, all four of the offices, is to make certain that we get honest and truthful and reliable primary sourced information out to the public. What I mean by primary source is we're not looking for individuals to offer their speculation or their opinions. We're looking for government entities or relevant folks to provide information that will be helpful so people understand how coronavirus is impacting their life and how to take adequate precautions and readjust to this new reality, because things have certainly changed, BJ. I mean, I have three elderly seniors that we're responsible for, and I have two elementary school kids that are now at home, so our world has dramatically changed quickly.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I've got two kids at home as well, and it's been just a big shift here, and parents and family members and friends worried about as well. So, you know, from a state level at the state capitol, have things changed quite a bit? I mean, is there still meetings taking place in Sacramento?
So almost daily, we are in briefs with the governor's office or the relevant divisions of the state of California. We were forcibly recessed 2 weeks ago for safety reasons. So what has happened is that we've all been working remotely to make certain that we respect the social distancing requirements that are in place. But every day we are still working on all the constituent related issues, working closely with our counterparts in Sacramento and in Washington, D.C. I have spoken with the governor personally. I've spoken with his emergency preparedness team multiple times, and even the White House. So this is an all aspect of government approach that needs to be taken and needs to be mindful of how the federal players are operating, the state players, as well as the county and local players. All of us are doing our absolute best to make certain that we are coordinating information, or at least exchanging it, so the left hand knows what the right hand is doing and vice versa.
In a general sense, are you pleased with how the governor's office and the state has responded to this point?
You know, these are unprecedented times. And I think one thing that California has done well is get out information. And that can't be said with all areas of America or all areas of the world for that matter. But one thing I think has been good, we have put forward immediately once we were forcibly recessed, we had put up an information website on coronavirus, and so that individuals within the Senate District 8, and BJ, as you know, it's big. It includes 11 counties from Death Valley to Sacramento, but it is to allow folks easy access to a number of sites, and they're constantly being updated so people can get up-to-date information. So from the California perspective, our job of making sure that people have access to reliable and primary sourced information, I think, has been very good.
We've linked to the website that you put out in response to the COVID-19 crisis. And I know we were talking about it. It really does have quite a bit of good links and good information. That's all in one good central place.
It is helpful. I think people have found it helpful. You know, sometimes social media and, you know, the various news outlets, sometimes there can be a lot of, you know, white noise, if you will. Everyone is putting out information, but you don't know if all of it's reliable. So our job is to make certain that we try to get the best information possible and make that available. But I think the governor has put forward a number of programs that I think are helpful. As schools have closed and senior centers and so on and so forth, is that we have an acute shortage of beds and intensive care facilities, but most importantly, professionals, whether they're nurses, respiratory therapists or doctors. And so he had created a health corps, kind of modeled after AmeriCorps, that is designed to create more flexibility for students of nursing or students of medicine or those who have retired to come back into the workforce with less red tape. And I think this is exactly the type of thinking that we need. We need to get those young professionals and those retired professionals back into the health system to accommodate and respond to the needs of our time.
Have you been inspired to see the number of people sign up for that and just healthcare and emergency responders in general who are stepping up to meet this time?
Absolutely. I think everyone has taken an all-hands-on-deck approach. You may recall that there were six or seven sites around California that were put forward as overflow infrastructure areas for health preparedness. Fresno County happened to be one of them within the valley, and we're trying to figure out how we can get the Department of Defense to approve the Fresno County Fairgrounds. Now, we don't know if that's going to happen, but we're already making alternative plans for another site to make certain that we have the infrastructure in place as well as the needed personnel to staff such a structure, because we don't know where the virus is going to take us in the coming months. Health professionals have speculated that if it responds like a flu, then we should see a commensurate decrease in the warmer months. But we just don't know yet. And so we have to prepare for all these eventualities. And they're troubling and they're scary. But you know what? We're Californians. We're Americans. We can do this. And I think the all-hands-on-deck approach that has been circulating and gaining popular understanding and traction is that everyone must do their part. That means listening to the health professionals, keeping your social distance protocols in place, making certain that those are not violated, you know, limiting the amount of time you spend outside the home. Even though this is extraordinarily difficult financially, emotionally, especially for families, single-income families that have children, the scenarios are endless, and it's deeply troubling. But what we do know is that it's better to front-load the obligations that we have right now rather than have to back-load the consequences later on. And that is what I think needs to be well understood and well implemented by all Californians.
We heard Governor Newsom earlier this week. We broadcast, he said, you know, mid-May is a potential time where we could see a surge here in California. Is that kind of what you're hearing as well with the current social distancing that's currently in place?
I'm not familiar with a specific timeline. We have heard at least, you know, a week ago, and mind you, a week ago in a coronavirus scenario is almost outdated information.
Right, but things have been changing so quickly.
Exactly. Every day things are changing, which is why we're in constant contact with our county health officials in all 11 counties through staff and other means, as well as state and federal authorities. I had a lengthy conversation with Republican leader Kevin McCarthy the day before yesterday on the Department of Defense's involvement in domestic health preparedness infrastructure. But the information that I got about a week ago is that they were expecting that by June, with the warmer months, that we might see the flattening or leveling out or even decreasing of the numbers. But we just don't know right now.
So it sounds like there's been pretty good communication with the federal level.
Absolutely, the highest levels. We are very pleased. We're working through our relevant members of Congress, whether it's Congressman McClintock or Acosta or Nunes or McCarthy. We're all part of the valley, if you will. And I think it's important that we integrate all communication from federal, state, county, local, as well as healthcare professionals and school administrators. If we're not communicating in a cohesive way, then there are opportunities missed. And we're trying to make certain that we do not miss these opportunities to better understand how to respond to the situation.
I know everything is still kind of remains to be seen how everything's going to play out. Are you hearing much impact from the local business community in your district about some of the current impacts that they're seeing?
Absolutely. And things aren't good. I'll say that. Let's call a spade a spade. Anytime you have a series of health protocols implemented like the ones that have been put into place right now, we know that restaurants and small businesses, tourism, you name it, across the entire spectrum of the economy, it has taken a dramatic hit. One thing that I think has been especially helpful is the CARE Act that came out of Washington that is designed to inject liquidity and the availability of capital into the marketplace and to make certain that our small businesses, which are defined as 500 employees or less, which includes most of our economy, if you will, that those employers have access to funding to keep their workforce. We need those individuals still on the payrolls, and and Leader McCarthy described one of the key provisions was that if those individuals stay on the payroll, then it would not be a loan, it would be a grant. It would be a forgivable grant. So the federal taxpayers will be making certain that we make investments in our families, our working families, our small businesses, because we cannot afford to let that type of economic infrastructure collapse, and we're not going to.
Well, Senator Borges, we have just about one more minute left. Anything else that hasn't been brought up today that's worth getting out to the public?
Well, absolutely. There's so much legislation that has stalled because of the forcible recess. We are working to find ways to reconvene using technology. There are certain legal limitations on this, but we're doing our best to make certain that we are responsive to our constituencies across the state of California. I have the honor of representing the 11 counties of Senate District 8. We have four offices and a number of people waiting to be helpful. If folks have questions or concerns, we have a district office in Amador. We have one in Sacramento. We have one in Stanislaus and Fresno. Please, folks, feel free. Contact us directly. We will do our absolute best through a remote location to interact with you and be as helpful as possible. So once we reconvene, we are going to get back to the business of the people of California. But prior to our forcible recess, the governor, we had appropriated over $1 billion in health preparedness infrastructure funding for the state of California, and that also included wildfire prevention dollars as well. So we were able to make certain that the public safety aspect of the mountain and foothill communities are being looked after as well.
Well, Senator Borges, we'll have to end on that note. Thank you so much for the update. Please keep us up to speed and stay safe.
Thank you, BJ. You too.
And that puts a wrap on this weekend's Motherlode Views focused on the COVID-19 response. We thank our guest, Senator Andreas Borges, and earlier our guest from Adventist Health Sonora, the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Alex Hurd, and Operations Executive, Tyler Newton. I'm BJ Hansen. We'll be back next week with more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.